Hey Zwifters, I'm Simon Schofield, and this is the Zwiftcast. And this, right next to me, this fella here, is Shay Miller. Hey mate.
Good afternoon, how are we, Simon?
I'm good. I'm also in Melbourne, you can tell, because I'm right next to Shay Miller. Very exciting it is too. Coming up on this episode, the Zwift brand gets a refresh with a brand new logo. We'll discuss Zwift's biggest and most ambitious event to date, the eCrit Grand Final here in Melbourne. How did it go? The 10 Commandments of Zwift. We've come up with our own. They're not yet chiselled in stone, you'll be pleased to hear, so you will have a chance to say what you think. And cheating in Zwift. Social shaming reaches a new high. Is this the best way to eradicate cheats? Or should there be, as one prominent Zwifter has proposed, a set of rules that would govern the way we do virtual racing? Lots to discuss on that one, Shane.
For sure.
And Nathan, of course, is here too. Nathan, yo dude, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Pretty good here, actually. Yeah, not too bad at all. How's things over in the USA?
Warm, actually. Fall is here, but it's not acting like it.
Spring is here in Melbourne. It's been pretty cool the last couple of days, but...
Give or take here at the moment. We have our warm days, but then we have two cold days following that. So it's a bit of payback weather, we call it. We enjoy the warmth, and then we get reminded that it's still not quite summer yet.
Okay, well, this is all too British. Let's not carry on talking about the weather. Let's get going with Zwifty stuff, because there is, as ever, an absolute ton of stuff to discuss.
Right on!
Let's start. Launched this very day, Shane, with Zwift's new look. The platform's been updated, the website's been updated. The most prominent thing is a new logo. And I believe, Shane Miller, you have views on the logo.
I do. It's been a while since I've had a rant, so let me roll up my rolled-up sleeves.
Here we go.
On this one. First of all, they've kept it orange.
Yeah, and?
That's keeping it positive. They've kept it orange. No, look, okay, for me, let's get real about this logo. For me personally, this is my personal view, so not that of the Zwift cast or anybody listening.
Yeah, yeah, we don't endorse the views of Shane Miller.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's not elegant. It's not pretty. It's fat and slow. I understand elegant design, and we see Apple come out with brilliant new logos, yeah. And we expect from a Californian company, we expect brilliance and something for the next 10 years you can have on a letterhead and be proud of.
This is not it, in your view.
Again, my personal view on this, that's not the case with this. Mm. Everyone that I know so far, it's only a very small group of people, and we'll talk about the group in a sec, they screwed their nose up, and I think the response is, oh, you'll learn to love it. What part of paying a designer a lot of money is you've got to learn to love it?
Yeah.
So with Zwift, there's a lot of beta testing. We were beta testers from years back, many years back now. And the community are really used a lot for evaluating, you know, moving things forward and new features. They needed to beta test this logo.
I kind of get that, Shane. But the thing is, you can't actually... I mean, good design never comes from a committee. It never comes from a committee.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I mean, I could see that process being somewhat inelegant. But, I mean, it seems as though it's fair to say you don't like it very much. And these things are subjective. Nathan, your kind of immediate views on it.
Knee-jerk reaction right off the bat. What is that? that was the knee-jerk reaction. Okay. I knew what was coming next was you're going to some getting used to, right? I knew that was the next response. Knee-jerk reactions are a huge thing, though. You know what I mean? Like, you hit my knee and it pops up or not. You know what I mean? Like, and so it looks good on ZCL stuff, though, which I was surprised. We put it into some ZCL stuff, and I was like, oh, that looks good. And so I think they're trying to do now, this is just what they're trying to do with it, I think, or what it's meant to do is that it's made for more of incorporation onto things.
We will discuss what it all means for the platform in a moment or two, but I'm sure she will have been watching and listening to what we just said with enormous interest. Let's hear from the Zwift Insider, whose baby this whole brand refresh has been, Emily Mullen. Let's hear what Emily's got to say.
Head of Brand and Marketing Communications, is that right, Emily?
That is correct, Simon.
Good. Always good to get the title right. Why are we seeing a new look for Zwift?
You know, we're calling it a brand refresh. You know, it's a little bit of an update. And the reason for that update is pretty simple. As we look towards the future in the next 3 years, 5 years, even 10 years down the line, we wanted something that was bold and bright and iconic and could stand the test of time and really reflect not only who are we today as a company, but who do we want to be. People look at logos and they think they're pretty simple, and I think a really well-designed logo actually has a lot of sort of complexities as part of that. But at the end of the day, it really came down to making a bold statement, putting something there that felt authentic and true to the brand personality and the brand experience that you get on the product, something that's very friendly in nature, something that is very welcoming and accessible, which I think is a clear reflection of the Zwift community, and then also something that has a little bit of a competitive edge.
How do you think it's going to be received, the new look?
I hope it's received very well, but I think it will probably be received like anything we release. And that is, you know, with a lot of comments and feedback that are extremely helpful and noticed from our Zwift community. I mean, that's, I think, one of our biggest assets is that our Zwift community is so involved in the product and in the brand and in the company, and we are so lucky to have that. So change is not always easy, and sometimes the shock of the new happens, and so we're prepared for that.
Logos and identities and brand identities, they're very important for businesses, but quite often the customers of those businesses look at these things and they say, what a colossal waste of money that must have been. Why don't they spend money on developing the game?
Yeah, I mean, I get it and I hear that. We have a very exciting winter ahead of us with a lot of product updates coming along. And so we're very excited to remain focused on those. Yeah. You'll hear things like group workouts, more roads, more courses, Apple TV work, and a few other surprises along the way.
You're not going to tell me what those surprises are you?
John would kill me.
Well, I'm sure people, well, we know people will have opinions, and we know we're going to hear
them. Oh, yes.
And we know we're going to hear those opinions in the community, and it's going to be interesting to watch them, and also perhaps watch how those opinions evolve over time. Emily, I'm extremely grateful for your time. Thanks for cluing us in on a bit of the thinking behind it, and hopefully talk again soon. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you, Simon.
Well, not only one, but two Zwift execs on the Zwiftcast. Here's Steve Beckett, head of everything to do with marketing.
I don't want anyone thinking, you know, Zwift's disappeared up its own backside, like a lot of people in marketing get accused of. When we asked people around Zwift what the Zwift brand was, there wasn't a unified understanding of that. Who are we for? What do we do? And why are we different? So we distilled this right down to an internal statement, which was, you know, we're the fitness brand born from gaming. We needed something which better identified with our company culture, the Zwift community, and the product experience. Big Z logo personifies Zwift being a window to another world. There'll be a lot of shock of the new today about a Zwift logo, but it's really about a Zwift brand, and a Zwift brand that hopefully you identify better with, our staff do, and also all the people who are kind of interested in getting Zwift, hopefully we look a bit more approachable. When you look at the Zwift customer base, we're not just full of performance meathead cyclists like Shane Miller and other people like him. There's a big future for Zwift, and you know, Zwift can be part of a wider playing field. With a fitness brand born from gaming, then this brand that we've hit upon is right in that space. Okay. So a lot of people, it looks fat. You know, that fat logo.
Yeah, no, fat has been used by one Shane Miller.
But I hope the, I guess there's quite a lot of dissonance in it. So there's this kind of like awkwardness with the performance edge and the round edges. Yeah, yeah. So we quite like that as Zwift.
What would you think if the community really doesn't like it?
Well, I think we're pretty confident they're going to grow not to like it, but to love it. You know, the logo's got personality. The old logo didn't have personality.
Right.
Let's talk about this in slightly deeper terms than whether we like the logo or not, Shane. What do you think this means? What does it communicate for Zwift as a brand in the next 3, 5, 10 years, which was the timescale that Emily was talking about? What does it all mean?
You'd have to sit down on a couch, I guess, with a psychologist to look into the meaning of what a fat logo is all about. But for me, it's the opposite of what Zwift stands for. Like, we ride Zwift to be thin and to be fit and to be elegant and to be faster. This thing is the opposite. So the meaning of this logo, I'm not sure. I'm keen to hear what they've got to say about it from a design perspective. But I'm also keen, more obviously, to hear from this community and what they have to say about it as well. So I'll be watching that closely.
Yeah. Nathan, how do you think it's going to go down in the community?
Not well. I don't think it's going to go down super well right off the bat. But I like all the things in the community, everybody will be out there looking to shoot their opinion into the middle of it. And I think you'll have the naysayers and the yays and it'll be fun. I think we're going to have fun with it. We'll have a big discussion about it on the Zwiftcast.
We've seen the end of the tagline, indoor cycling outdone.
So the next market is, where else do we go from here? We've seen Strava go to the running market. If you look at the first page of Strava to log in, it's runners. Mm. If you log out and go back in or have an error, it's runners on the screen. So Strava have branched out. So Zwift are doing the same thing with everyone else. And we know Peloton's coming up. Well, you know, Peloton's already there. Yeah. Smart bikes on the horizon, which is going to appeal to a lot more people than just the hardcore
rowing. Cyclists. Rowing's coming.
Look out. Well, I mean, virtual golf and virtual bowling coming up soon, I hope, on the pier there in Watopia.
Nathan, I mean, Zwift was born of cycling. It remains very much of cycling. Can it be of cycling and other sports without upsetting cyclists?
Yeah, I believe so. You just need to have, you know, expectation. We talk about this so often in the forums. And I think it just needs to be presented in such a way and spaced in such a way that it makes sense for everybody. One of my main pushbacks was when I'd visit the website at Zwift or I go to any of their promotions, I feel like you have to be a pro cyclist to want to do it, if that makes sense. Like, all of the features and everything that was kind of being said was like, this is who this is for. And it's always a feature on somebody who's winning a race or somebody who's training at a really high level and has dedicated their whole life to being a cyclist, you know? And so I think a lot of people have approached the platform and gone, whoa, that looks like it's not for me. And then you have these hurdles to get in with the friction idea of like tech setup. And it's like, whoa, you got to be really committed to do this thing. I'm not throwing that money down on it. But then on the other side, you have Peloton that costs you $200 to $3,500 or whatever over its lifetime, way bigger investment. But just because of the way it's branded, you feel like, oh, that's for me.
We can agree then that this is more than about logo. And we can also agree, because it's obvious, it's a bit of a no-brainer, that branding is incredibly important for the growth of a business. So with that in mind, we'll end our bit of the discussion on this question. Total waste of money, Shane, or a wise and intelligent decision to move the brand forward?
I love seeing the brand move forward. I love Zwift. I've been on for nearly 3 years now myself, so I love seeing any progression or anything that's going to bring more people onto the platform. The logo itself, I still can't get my head around the logo, but the branding itself and the message to get more people on board, absolutely. So, money well spent.
Nathan, in a few words, waste of money or essential business decision smartly executed?
I think it's smart. I think there's a who we are that happens too, internally and externally. So I think it's more than just like, here's our face. But, you know, in the long term, it'll grow on us. It's not this huge, massive deal, like Shane said.
It's a huge logo, though. It's massive logo. It's fat.
The thing about logos, actually, is they can have a human impact. And this next story perhaps demonstrates that better than most. There's one person for whom the old Zwift logo has a really, really special resonance because it's connected with his life story, and a very interesting one it is too. So let's hear a bit of it. And it's Pete Donoghue, who lives in Perth, Western Australia, and I was lucky enough to meet him a few days ago.
I suffer from depression. I had a drinking problem. Yeah, life certainly wasn't five stars, and it had been like that for a long time. And I guess it was the time, I guess, to grow up and make some changes with the family. And so I went and got a blood test, which didn't come back very positive. And they found a lesion in my liver, and they said, if you want to sort of see your kids grow to 20, you want to make some changes.
How bad was your problem, Peter?
Easily a bottle of spirits a night. Certainly wasn't a lifestyle that was long term. I decided to go a week off the drink, which was a week for me. It was a lifetime. And a week turned into a month, and a month turned into 6 months, and now it's a year and a half. Cold turkey, not had a drop.
Pete's recovery was helped hugely by his discovery of Zwift.
I hadn't exercised for probably 15, 20 years. And then my friend Brendan got me onto Zwift, and haven't looked back. So I've lost 25 kilos to date. So that was a big boost for me as well. I've used the term it saved my life, and what I mean by that is, if I didn't find it after the drinking thing, I don't know if I would have went back to the drinking. I needed something to keep me occupied. Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about the platform and what it's done for me.
Pete decided to reflect that passion in a permanent way, with a tattoo of the Zwift logo on his leg.
Yeah, tattoos are something I enjoy. But for me, it was the meaning behind, from where I've come from to what I've where I met Zwift and sort of where it's taking my life in that path. So it's something that I'm going to have forever. I do when I'm riding, and I sound a bit silly when things are tough on the bike, and I sort of look down, and it just gives you a reminder of where I've come from.
Pete was always aware of the risk that the logo may change.
And now it appears it's become a reality. So, I was reached out from Zwift. They contacted me and discussed it, and they basically said that they're willing to assist in any alteration that needed to be done. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to say. I was a bit speechless, to be honest with you. I was surprised that they knew who Zwift Fitness was, and then secondly, who I was. Probably thought about it for a few days. I got back to them. I respectfully denied the offer to have any alterations made. I think it. It is a piece of history. Down the line, I may get the new the big Z, but we'll see how it goes. It is a major thing to me personally, and I've copped a bit of stick over it, but it's, like I said, it's personal. It means a lot more than anyone can probably understand, I guess.
Well, Shane, there was some big stuff in there, really big stuff. Let's not do the logo again, because I think we've done that. But one of the really bits of big stuff in that interview was this idea of salvation through cycling. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you hear it quite a lot, but it's incredibly important. Has cycling saved you from anything?
Personally, I haven't gone through anything that I've learnt other people have gone through themselves.
But you must have known people.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people who have been touched by depression, and just cycling is their escape. It's their constant. And you hear people talk about this with their running as well. Casey Neistat recently had a leg injury, and he expressed in one of his videos what running meant to him. And it resonated across almost any sport. People use it as their outlet. We're built as hunter-gatherers still. Only in the last few hundred years have we had the luxury of having abundant food and good health. So we're still primal people who need to go out and do things. So I think there's an element of, it's just nice to go out and be physical, get that heart rate up, and it can be a place of that's all your own, and it means it's something different to everybody.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the case in Pete's case. I mean, he uses quite hypey language. He says Zwift saved his life, and actually, having met him, I'm kind of prepared to believe that. There is one way, though, that you can swap one addiction for another addiction, Nathan. You can swap one unhealthy addiction, drink or drugs or God knows what, for a healthy addiction, which is cycling or perhaps swifting. Again, have you come across that? What's your views on salvation and cycling?
I have a strong history with this. I'll open up to the community a little bit. And from the years of about very young on, no father really in my life, from about 11 till about 15, I used heavily, even into 16 years old, very heavily into addiction, and almost died, flight for life, jailed, all that kind of stuff.
Really? I knew you had a bit of a difficult background. I've never really heard you talk about it too much.
Yeah, so... And part of the reason I started live streaming my training was to reach out to community and show how the discipline of the body and the putting that as a rhythm into your life, the same that you would as you would eat food or you would sleep or do some basic essentials, like Shane was saying, these are essentials for us that we are neglecting because of ease of technologies or whatever might be coming in. And so using technology then to reincorporate it into my life. So my uncle came along, and actually it was martial arts that initially showed me the discipline of the body being a place to go to organize yourself and order yourself, and use that as another outlet rather than what, and I had to give up the other then. In order to enjoy that outlet, I had to give up the using. I had to give up that other side because they didn't go together well, right? I couldn't go as hard into that lifestyle and had to change my lifestyle then. And so I definitely believe in that. I definitely believe in I guess you could use the word a saving, you know what I mean, or a salvation through the incorporation of something that is a good addiction, or I wouldn't even call it addiction, but the healthy use of your desires. And I'm so glad to hear Pete's story, and I hope to hear so many more of them. I know of plenty of them just from my live streaming channel. People who I coach now, because I started live streaming, they interacted with me and came from whatever kilos over or, you know, other addictions that they were giving their life to or whatever it was that maybe not drinking, maybe whatever it might have been, though, that they then used cycling and hanging out on in the Zwift community and bettering the order of their exercise and disciplining of the body to replace those other things, and are now, you know, more fit, healthier. I mean, longer lifespan. I mean, that's just a reality. Like, these people will now live longer as long as all the correlations are correct, you know what I mean? And have a better longevity of life. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm really happy to hear Pete's story.
The thing about these stories is they are unbelievably inspirational for people who are just maybe at the beginning of that journey or maybe not even started that journey. So, if anybody has got stories of salvation through cycling, if they'd like them to be known and if they'd like to be shared, to put up there to help inspire people, I'd love to hear them. So, you know, do send me a private message if you're interested in sharing your story of how you've used cycling as salvation. Let's move on to something a little lighter, but actually for many people, no less serious, which is virtual bike racing. To racing and to Rafa in Melbourne, where Shane and I are right now, and to the grand final of the massive E-Crit competition, which Zwift has been running in conjunction with KISS. So here's what happened on the night.
It's underway now.
Can you hear that downstairs?
I can hear that downstairs right now.
Off the front already. 22 riders.
Probably the biggest and certainly the most complex event that Zwift has organised in the company's short history took place in Australia at the Rafa Clubhouse in Melbourne. A thirsty and enthusiastic crowd gathered for the grand final of what had been a tightly contested race series stretching over the previous 5 months.
This is just the express train coming by once again, and they're not taking...
The KISS E-Crit story unfolded over more than 20 qualifying events in two divisions split between the Eastern and Western time zones. A women's competition suffered from poor uptake, more of that later, but the 10 male finalists arrived in Melbourne ready for a hard ride. There'd been a deal of hype around the series, and no one was taking the final anything other than very seriously. Not least, the relatively newly appointed area manager for Zwift for Australia and New Zealand, Wes Sulzberger, who, alongside Jesper Anker, had been providing commentary services for the series and would be doing again on the night, as well as organising everything else.
I've just come on with Zwift, you know, the last, well, I guess, 3 weeks or so, and this is straight up the first event, which is sort of the biggest event that they've done in terms of organised sort of events. So, yeah, it's certainly a lot of pressure there, but yeah, we're with a great team here behind us, I think we'll get there and have a really successful event.
It's become a bit of a cliche in cycling to thank the team, but honestly, these events are about as tricky to get right as the perfect lead out in a Tour sprint. It's a live event for the public. There are compares who we need to hear at the event and on the stream.
Can you judge the excitement that is happening right now?
I tell you what, Christoph, the excitement is really building here.
There are commentators who need a live feed of the race, and the public and the racers need to hear them.
How is that going to work, Jasper?
There are 10 racing stations, which have to be absolutely perfect. You really don't want a 5-month-long contest ruined by a single dropout in the final sprint. Then there's the broadcast setup. The whole thing needs to be covered with several cameras live, plus up-to-the-minute graphics, and then streamed globally. All done by a team 10,000 miles from home and with a limited excess baggage allowance. Johnny Noblett is just one of the Zwift team on the sharp end.
For travelling around and trying to get something you can do a bit more on the fly and compact and mobile, it does the job. But yeah, there's a lot of things that need to be planned out, like first and map it out before you actually go ahead and do it.
Do you feel under any pressure, Johnny?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, you know, it's live TV. It's all about being under pressure. So yeah, but it's good. You know, pressure's good. You know, I've come from being in a position where I wasn't under much pressure to going somewhere where I can, like, you know, jump on top of it and be challenged. So yeah, it's good.
Good answer, Johnny.
Check one, two.
Compares briefed and primed, the racing kicked off with an informal Queen of the Mountain contest. Some eyebrows had been raised by the lack of a full female competition equivalent to the men. That's what they do in Australia. And I asked Wes why it hadn't happened.
It wasn't quite enough interest there. So we had three women that were continuously sort of adding up with points. Back in third place, we had Rebecca Wysak, who we asked to be involved. She wasn't able to come, so we were thinking with only two riders really that have accumulated these points, that it wouldn't really be fair to let other people come in and be sort of win the E-Crit Women's. So that's where we had to really think about what we could do best to sort of for everyone, and that was to have it as an open Queen of the Mountain event.
Wes added that if the event is run again, Zwift will increase the promotion for female entrants with a view to attracting bigger fields. But now it was time for the men to take centre stage.
First that they're going to come behind us is not the sprint lap.
These riders now will really start to come through here and start to step it up again. We will probably see some more fireworks when we start to come up through the volcano.
I've been to a few of these events, and it's safe to say the atmosphere at this one was easily the best. The racers rode really hard. An already hot contest was spiced up with lap sprints with cash money for the winners. And we were treated to a classic selection of pain faces, grimaces, bulging veins and plenty of sweat. Yeah, virtual racing had hit Melbourne big time.
He's only got 4 seconds. Aaron Dunn's coming back.
It looks like Aaron Dunn is coming back.
The winner was no massive surprise, but no less deserving of top spot on the podium.
Very, very hard. Okay. Oh, legs are burning.
It was a great night, and Wesman was one relieved and happy fella straight after the race.
It was great, that finale, like that finish, and the riders threw out with those points and sprints, it really gave it spice.
In the end, it's all about the race.
It is all about the race, and these racers definitely knew that tonight. Yeah, they got involved in it and really took it up in those sprints that were out on offer as well. I didn't think we'd probably see as much fireworks through those sprints as we did.
Well done, Melbourne. Well done, racers. Well done, the Zwift team. This was a terrific event and could well prove to be the template for lots of other similar events all around the world.
It really was a fantastic night, and a lot to discuss coming out of this, Shane. I mean, first of all, your impressions. You were there.
I was kind of working and kind of enmeshed a bit. You were more of a spectator. What did you make of it as a spectator?
It was good. Finally, I was in an event that Zwift were running that I wasn't involved, heavily involved with at the back end or as an athlete. There's stresses on both of those. This time I sort of knew what was going on in the background and I was helping the guys a little bit, but I got more to have a drink in my hand, walk around, grab the burgers as they were going past and enjoy this spectacle. So as the person that the event is put on for, as you know, the attendee, it was really good. One key thing was that we watched the start of the race and it all took off and like everyone was huddled around the riders. And then after that, they had three or four screens up all around the venue. So we could stand back and enjoy ourselves while the guys were racing really hard over, you know, along the panel of riders there. But we could share, you know, what's going on with our friends, have a chat and see up on those screens around us what was going on. So we didn't need to be locked into the screens. We didn't need to be huddled around the riders, which can be a little awkward. Especially if you're at max heart rate and somebody's standing next to you with a beer. Doesn't happen in real racing. There's a real psychology around that. It's just bizarre. But so everyone sort of stood back and they were cheering on if you were close or you could stand back. And then for the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes when things were getting really revved up, we all got back into it. Great night. Really, really good night. Ran really well.
It was very, very, I mean, I've been to a few of these. It was very, very, very well staged, actually. And as Shane was just saying then, an awful lot of the kind of secret recipe or the magic ingredient of these events is how well they're presented and how the race can be covered for more than one audience, because it's not just the people who are standing next to the racers. You're then having to communicate what's happening to a global audience on a stream, and that's your kind of that's your area, Nathan. How did it look to you from afar?
I was really impressed, actually. You know, actually, I was still working in the background, actually, a little bit. Me and Johnny were communicating a lot and making sure that, you know, I just had another pair of eyes on it. And then if something was going on here or there, there's just a lot of working parts. Like you did a really good job, actually, Simon, of showing how many working parts there are with a live stream, actually, and how much development is taken to get to this point. And it was really proud moment, actually, for ZCL and seeing Johnny and what he's able to do and that live event, and then seeing Zwift and all that work coming together in this culmination of this live event in Melbourne. I mean, I was just kind of blown away.
Nathan, interested in your take on this, and Shane alluded to it when we first started talking about it just then. Race format. I mean, we've got one 40-minute race with a start, a middle, and an end. Is that the right format for virtual racing?
The most popular and most successful esports right now are the ones that have a repeatable investment from the viewer for who they're rooting for and watching them move along in a progression. Does it work out the way I wanted it to? And then, oh, it failed or it succeeded. And that one is the most long-standing, most successful. They play it day in and day out on ESL and other esports leagues places. A little, and then they're you know, there's a broad range of like how long the rounds are between each one of the games, but every one of them has that repeated investment and ladder climbing in some sort of a sense with heats to a final. And that seems to be the most successful model for showing off these kinds of competitions.
That have been going around my head, and I've not really stress tested these, Shane, really, but if you look at some formats from the track, so one of my very, very favourite formats, both to compete in, actually, and to watch, is it's known as various things, but Devil Take the Hindmost, it's often known as, or the elimination race. Mm-hmm. And you go around the track, and the last guy over the line, every so often, every kilometre or whatever, is eliminated until there's only three left or two left, and then they race head-to-head. It's a fantastic format. Yeah. I could see something like that working really well in virtual racing. A short version of Devil Take the Hindmost. You might have, you know, eight rounds of it produces a winner and then they race against each other. As Nathan was saying then, repeatable investment for the viewer. Well,
to gamify it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that'd be fine. That'd be a welcome update. And again, it's only software, so they can't really fail at this. Yeah. So even beta test it, see how it goes with a select few group.
Yeah.
But we did see primes added, or sprint primes added to the E-Crit, which changed the racing as well. But a few people there, though, looking sideways at everyone else in the lineup, thinking, well, I don't have the legs for this at the end.
And there was money on that. There was $200-$300 on
but
those.
But they had the legs to collect the cash halfway through. And they did. They went home very happy. That changed the racing up as well. So there's been real excitement through the race. I guess that comes into what Nathan was saying about having, I guess, little games all the way through. up until the final. Yeah. So that's what happened there with the sprint primes.
Yeah.
So for sure, I mean, that replicated cycling as we know it, but this is software. We can do anything with the software.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do Rainbow Road. Let's go downhill Rainbow Road, as Nathan was saying, and kick people off the edge and a bit of... somebody from Zwift used to work for the person who made, or the company that made Road Rash, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's early days for virtual racing, and I'm sure a lot of these things have been thought about by the people who are looking at how far, how long, how big virtual racing can get. And we will have a bit more racing talk later on, because there's been, guess what? There's been some cheating going on in virtual racing. There's a surprise, isn't it? And there are a couple of ways of overcoming cheats that have been discussed at length in the Zwift community, and we'll return to discuss both of those things before the end of the podcast. But for now, let's talk about some new stuff that we know is coming to Zwift. This could be a short conversation, actually, Shane, I don't know anything other than the fact that there is a Watopia extension coming in October. Do you know any more than that?
Well, we've seen, if you go up the reverse KOM or the reverse mountain, we've seen some extensions being added. There's about 50 meters of road there. So people have been using the different camera angles to pull out and grab a screenshot. There's nothing there. It's about this much length of road. Yeah. There's not much there at all. Yeah. It's in a really weird spot. So if that's where the start is, to ride to get there is going to take a while. But there was mention of it maybe a portal. I'm not quite sure where I read that, whether it was Reddit or the forums or somebody rumour-monging somewhere else. If that's a portal to somewhere else, that's all I know so far.
Okay, well, there's an intriguing hint dropped. When I talked to Emily about the logo, obviously, as to what she could say about the Watopia extension, and of course she couldn't say much because she was under threat of excommunication or instant death from John Mayfield, as she makes clear in this clip. So let's just quickly hear what Emily said, what little she could say.
Can you give us any hint at all, Emily?
I can tell you it's pretty darn cool. In terms of a hint, you know, I have not had a chance yet to ride it myself. I've only seen it on our artist screens. We'll probably be getting it up on our QA screens hopefully within the next couple of weeks, because I can't wait to ride it based off of what I've seen on the artist screens. But a little bit of potentially some new functionality, maybe not right away, and a little bit of different gameplay. But I think people will be pretty excited about it.
Interesting bit in that, Nathan, was that the extension could be linked to new functionality. Now, I was trying to figure out what that could possibly mean. What do you think?
I'm not sure how much I can say, because I'm not sure which thing. So I'm kind of like, and I have an idea about what it's going to look like, and I can't say much there either, because I might get the touch of death too, because I think I've... I have this thing. It's got these three letters in it, and I just can't go any further.
I know. We've all signed the non-disclosure agreement. I mean, I am to some extent privileged here because I literally don't know anything, so I can speculate, and I could also just bounce a bit of speculation off you, Nathan. You know, it could. The new functionality could be related, could it not, Shane, to group workouts?
Possibly.
Well, that's the only extra function that we know of that is coming, that was mentioned over at Eurobike. Yeah. So maybe group workouts, but how that relates to a different road?
I don't know. Could there be special pens for starting group workouts? But why would they be in a different place from... Could there be something about the nature of the roads that lends itself to group workouts? Because, I mean, the thing with group workouts is that people are inevitably going to split. Mm. Could there be something special about these roads that stops people splitting? I'm making this up as I go along.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
I thought the group workout was going to make it so people just stayed together anyways.
I think I'm probably overcomplicating.
Could there be crosswinds here, that the people at the front get blown back a little bit so they have to work as hard, and a tailwind at the back?
Could be. Good, yeah.
Less butterflies. Less butterflies.
I thought I saw more butterflies than birds.
They take up too many frame rates.
When we're talking about the number of butterflies mm-hmm. and how many stones, I think the viewers and listeners can probably arrive at the same place that I've arrived at, is that we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for any kind of serious information here. So I think it is going to be one of those wait and sees. Let me move on now to another one that's been eagerly awaited, and there is a tiny bit of fresh information about this, but let's have a bit of context first. And this is Apple TV. This is Zwift for Apple TV. We know this has been on the Zwift to-do list for like ever and ever, but Apple have now just released a new generation of the Apple TV box. So Shane, mm-hmm. would you just explain why that could be significant for Zwifters? The Apple TV bit of it. The box.
Apple TV, well, it's an all-in-one device, so it simplifies a lot of the setup. It has a Bluetooth there already. Yeah. It's just a small little box that you plug in and go. There's no Windows updates, there's no Mac updates. It's all-in-one. It's quite an elegant little device.
Well, there's not much solid information did come out of Zwift, but I found something in the farthest reaches of the interwebs from the man himself, from John Mayfield. I'm going to read what he said. He said, "I can't say for sure when it will be out, but I think we'll have our release this fall. We haven't been putting much time into it as we've been building stuff for the core users on PC, Mac and iOS mostly, so it's dragged on a bit. With the new Apple TV, that's the new generation one, and mm-hmm. tvOS 11, I think it's nearing time." Sounds sooner rather than later to me.
I hope so. It's been out in beta for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my experience with it, it's very similar to the iPhone version or the iPad version.
Yeah.
So we'll see when it comes out and hits these shelves, so to speak.
Okay, moving on. And time for just a bit of fun. Also in the farthest reaches of the interwebs, a group of Zwifters, mainly these are veteran Zwifters.
This would be the dark web, wouldn't it?
This would be the dark web.
The dark
web. I don't want to say any more about this. This would be a place you don't really want to go to. These Zwifters were asked by me, as it happens, to come up with the 10 commandments of Zwift. The post got a completely ridiculous number of responses.
There was more than 10.
There were more than 10. Most of the responses were completely unbroadcastable, and not all of them were terribly serious, I have to tell you. But I did distill some of the more sensible ones down, and I got to about 20, 30, and then I distilled them down again, and I did actually get to the 10 commandments of Zwift. And this is just draft. It's just some kind of semi-random thoughts about... they're not really the rules of Zwifting, but they're kind of guiding. They might be a guiding light for people who worry about certain things. Anyway, it's just a bit of fun. This is the perspective. 10 commandments of Zwift. Just a bit of fun. Here we go. Thou shalt learn to turn. Thou shalt never post pictures of sweat puddles. Thou shalt not say, it's only a game. Thou shalt not tag Eric Min in support requests. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's Neo or Kicker. Thou shalt stay with the beacon on group rides. Thou shalt not diss Zwift Power. Thou shalt not diss Richmond. Thou shalt not weight dope, nor back sand, nor shrinketh thy cubits. Thou shalt not post saying, ride outside. Right, well, right or wrong, I have absolutely no idea, but let's move the discussion on by asking Shane for the one that should have been in there. So, Shane, your 11th commandment, please.
I don't have an 11th, but I think number 2 had to be in there. No sweat puddles. Do never, just no pictures of sweat puddles. We can show people sweating, that's fine, we expect that. But a puddle? That's disgusting. So I'm glad to see that one in there. That's my 11th. Just add that twice.
Nathan, have you got an 11th?
Thou shalt not for brag thy FTP. I think that is no for bragging the FTP on the social medias. Look, guys, here's my workout, and I got my FTP. It's 5 million watts.
Exactly. The next question is, what training were you on? It's like, we go down that route.
I honestly, if you saw my notebook, you'd see there were a number of drafts of the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not post thy FTP was in and out and in and out and in and out like a hokey cokey. And I have to tell you, I think probably it should have been in there. So that is a great 11th, Nathan. Thank you very much for that. If anybody would like to continue this debate, because it's quite a good debate, actually, I urge you to go and have a look at the Zwiftcast listeners page, and we could have a bit of fun with our own. What's your 11th commandment? Come and tell me on the Zwiftcast listeners page on Facebook. Okay, let's get serious. Let's talk about social shaming and cheating. If you take an interest in Zwift racing, you can't have helped noticing that social shaming of alleged cheats has really gone up a notch in the past few days, probably rather than weeks. But there have been some people targeted, rightly or wrongly, I have no way of knowing. Some of the evidence looks pretty strong, it has to be said. But this idea that people who are repeatedly cheating in Zwift racing can be shamed into not doing so by having their exploits and their what looks to be their strange metrics regarding changing weight and changing height and other things, by having those exposed, it might stop them cheating and it might deter others. That's the kind of principle behind social shaming. Now, that's one way of potentially controlling cheats. Another way of potentially controlling cheats is by having a code of governance, a system of proper rules for virtual racing, which people would sign up to before they take part in some, maybe not all, but in some racing. So let's take this one at a time. Nathan, I'd like to start with you on social shaming. Internet vigilantes with too much time on their hands, or the community policing itself effectively? Which is it?
I'm definitely one that believes in going to someone first, then taking someone else with you, and then going to the community and the group. So I'm all about approaching someone personally first. So the social shaming, okay, but let's use a quick allegory. I got a big old thing of wasps outside my door, but you know, and one or two are coming in, no big deal, swat one or two. All of a sudden they're like living in here and there's nothing I can do but get to the root of the problem, right? So you swat a couple wasps or gnats or whatever it is. Next thing you know, you got so many gnats, you can't deal with them. You should probably go deal with the piece of fruit that's causing the gnats, right? So there's a root of the problem, and there's just going to be too many people to deal with. And at this point, I'm looking and seeing it's post after post after post. You're like, you can't even keep track of how many people these people are posting anymore, because there's so many people on the platform. And you're like, okay, you need to get to the root of the problem, which is creating, like you said, some sort of a governance and a way of a system. You need to create a system of checks and balances in order to place people within a sphere of expectation. I wrote many posts about this over and over again, but I think we might be getting to a tipping point where there may be a space for this to actually be created.
Let's go back, Shane, to get your take on social shaming. Should we be putting a picture up of a guy on the internet who we think is cheating at racing at Zwift? Because it looks like he is, to be honest. Does that work? Is that the right thing to do?
It doesn't scale. I think that's what Nathan alluded to just then, because the gnats coming in, or the bees coming in, or even the butterflies on Zwift. There's a lot of those around these days. Let's get to the root cause of the problem. But I think, look, I'll go to the positive side of this. Their intent is good. The people who are calling these other people out and spending their time going through all the stats looking, their intent is really good. And I'd hope the same energy they put into naming and shaming also goes to defending people who are legitimate.
Yeah.
So, again, let's go on the positive side.
It's rough justice. It's rough justice is what my view on that is. Okay, so Frank Garcia, who, as regular listeners and people interested in racing will know, runs the CVR set of events, the real-life virtual racing, which is certified and validated and Frank's got a big stake in this area. And in fact, we gave him a very hard time on a podcast a couple of episodes ago because there was no code of governance or no set of rules or no anti-doping around the races that he was putting on. Well, Frank's come up with a large document, which is a first shot, and he concedes it's a first shot, a code of conduct, a set of rules, a framework of governance, call it whatever you want, for governing virtual racing. Now, Shane, you are, I'm guessing, one of the very few people in the world who has actually taken the trouble to read all 13 pages of this document. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I mean, let's not get bogged down in detail on the actual content of the document, the principle. Do we need it? Can it work?
Absolutely. This is exactly what we spoke a few episodes back that needed to be put in place. So this is excellent. This is really, really good. Look, it's a basis for the framework to start with. But for this is bigger than Zwift. This is bigger than CVR. This is bigger than Frank. This needs to have everybody sitting at the same table to make sure that this will be the framework to be used now and in the future. Yeah. So we're talking about having Zwift HQ on board, somebody at the table on this one as well. We're talking Road Grand Tours, Tax Virtual Racing, Ruvi, Kinomap, Virtual Go. There's a new kid in town. Watch out for that. Like, there's a lot of things. Sufferfest. Anybody who's going to do this online, I'd love to see everybody at the table. So this may be a set of rules that now govern CVR for now, which is fine. Even if this only governs CVR, we know the framework they operate under, which gives them more legitimacy. We know that they govern themselves very well if it's based on this document. Mm. But I'd love to see this take out, like, just stretch its wings and cover everything virtual racing.
Yeah, I agree with you, but who on earth is going to take the responsibility for making that happen?
That's the big ask.
Has got the deep pockets that will be needed to make that happen, has got the organisational ability, the logistical clout. Well, there is one organisation, you know, that could probably answer yes to more of those questions than any other, and that actually is Zwift. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I would be the first to say this is absolutely not their responsibility. I mean, they put the platform up, people have chosen to use it for racing, and Zwift, quite rightly in my view, have stepped away from sanctioning people that might be cheating at racing, and they're never going to change that.
These rules can exclude people and can ban people, and that's a hot potato that we probably don't want to deal with, which is fine and understandable from a commercial standpoint.
Yeah.
But I still think, as we mentioned a few episodes back, this needs to be in place, and I'm really happy to see Frank sit down and actually nut this out as a beginning.
Yeah, well, I think Frank's doing a fantastic job. I mean, he's actually taken the initiative to actually execute it. It's a huge job, isn't it, Nathan? I mean, it's more than the one private individual, even with some resources to devote to it, can possibly take on. I mean, can Frank really execute this on his own, get the buy-in and do the policing and the sanctioning and, you know, everything else that goes with governance? Huge job.
Yeah, it's a lot of networking and delegating, I think, actually, rather than just one individual and one organization. There's going to have to be a lot of stakes in it, and getting people to buy in and having interest, though, and I think it's possible. It just needs, you know, the right planning around it in order to make it happen, as well as the permissions, I think, too. You know, I think some coordination alongside Zwift then too. Now, at the same time, like, the idea that Zwift doesn't want to do this, if it gets to a certain point, though, maybe they do.
I mean, one thing I've kind of toyed with, I had a period when I've been in Australia a couple of weeks now, and I had a period of time when I wasn't particularly sleeping very well, strangely enough. It was my body clock just, and a random thought popped into my head about 3 a.m., which was, could you have a system where, as a Zwifter, you choose, Shane, what type of member you want to be? So you could say to Zwift in the enrollment or the registration or your profile process, I want to be a racing member of Zwift. Mm-hmm. My profile is going to say Simon Schofield brackets R, which means racing. And as part of that, the deal with Zwift would be that you agree to being sanctioned if you break a code of practice. And then we could maybe bring Zwift into the process where this code of practice is formed. Now, whether they'd want to do that, I've absolutely no idea, because the number of people with R after their name, God knows, what 5%, 8% is what we've heard of before. Mm-hmm. But as subscription numbers grow, you know, 8% of a big number is
a lot bigger of than 8% of a small number. Yeah. So maybe it could be worthwhile. And Zwift are the people who've got the weight and the heft and the resource to, if not initiate, certainly support and bring together the different parties that would be needed to get some kind of effective code of practice. I mean, is it a non-starter? Do Zwift listen to this and say, you must be joking, we've got about 55,000 other things we need to do first?
I'd go from the other way. You're looking from the user perspective I'd go from the platform back out to the user. So the user can choose, as what Nathan was saying before, do we want a Rainbow Road style fun experience? Great. Then when I start, I click on that. I want the fun stuff. Or do I want a serious race? Well, I then click on the serious race. Then I'm subjected to all those. I think there's a bit of both there. Mm. I want the ability to be a fun racer and have a, you know, be able to change my weight, or maybe not even, let's just forget the weight thing, have the weight as what I want, but have a world that tampers with that, maybe based on the banana peel that I slip over or a donut that I happen to eat on the road that I couldn't dodge. Mm. A bit of fun. But then also, yeah, if you click on a race and select that, then you're under the strict rules as per guidelines such as this.
Yeah. Who knows?
I think what Simon was saying, though, you could phase that in, though. That's a great information collector, though, as to whether or not this is something to go after, whether or not it's marketable, whether or not it's worth the money to do it. If you slowly phased in something that said you're a racer account or not, and it didn't cost you anything up front or cost the user anything up front, but they could just start identifying themselves. And then at that point, once you get the stats and the identifications taking place, then you can start, hey, would this interest you? Would this? And you could slowly start communicating to the user over time how to build that into the platform.
And Nathan, I think that's interesting. So, I mean, developing this crazy theory of mine, you have racing membership and you then say, okay, I'm going to pay $2 a month more than other people. And, you know, the reason I'm doing that is because if I'm a racing member of Zwift, it's likely I'm quite a committed Zwifter. It's likely I do some races, and actually $2 a month, say, or even $1 a month, it'd be like a racing levy. I mean, I pay membership of British Cycling. I don't think I get much out of it. I certainly don't use it very much, but I'm happy to pay for British Cycling because I think generally they do good things for cycling in Britain. I see it as a kind of tax on cyclists, and I'm kind of happy to pay that. So maybe there's a kind of racing tax in Zwift, you know, and you say, all right, I'm paying $11 a month, not 10, because I believe in racing in Zwift, and I'm donating this dollar a month to Zwift, and I want them to use it to further the racing aims.
10,000. So how many Zwifters are there? Let's say we got 10,000 racers. You got $10,000 a month.
Yeah, that is a sum of money that you could use to start to think about bringing in governance.
Mm.
But yeah. Is it a bit, you know, it's all pie in the sky. This is this a priority for Zwift? Is it a priority for Zwift? I don't know. You know, maybe it's on the list of questions to ask Eric when we get him sat in front of the Zwiftcast, which I hope to do in the next few weeks or so. Nathan, I know you've got races to commentate on and stuff to do, so let's hear what you're up to. This new show is finally getting off the ground, is it not? Tell us about it.
So it's going to be somewhat of a daily power-up kind of a thing, or a weekly power-up kind of a thing, where we highlight what's going on in the community, roll in just of like, here's the latest, boom, 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 quick shots with little bits of video and media coming into that, and then we'll have a couple of guests. I think the two of you will most likely be featured often, and right along with those in the community. So if you are out there in the community, you got stories to tell, we would love to tell them. We'll also be doing some interviews with Zwift HQ. The difference obviously being it's all going to be live. So if you want to interact directly with it, make sure to be following Zwift Community Live's Twitter, as well as our Facebook and our live streaming platforms, because you will get notifications of when we are doing those live broadcasts.
Shane, I guess top of mind for you is going to be the house move. This is the first time I've been to your home in Melbourne. There are lots of boxes around, viewers and listeners, I have to tell you, an awful lot. That's because Shane's on the point of moving house. And this is not mere domestic news, because this does impact on your professional life, doesn't it? So how's it going to make things better for you, your new home?
We have fibre to the house. Here in Australia, the internet is very... Well, if you've spoken to any Aussie and about their internet, they'll always complain. It's the next thing that happens after you mention the internet to an Australian. There are a select few number of places with fiber to the home, so 100 meg down, 35 up, or up to 50 up, which may sound small to a few people, but for us, that's about 35 times more than what I have at the moment. So moving house, also double the garage size and double the room size that I have here. So on a personal level, yeah, it's going to be quite busy moving a lot of boxes around. But then it's trainer season. It's trainer season, Northern Hemisphere. So the channel's going quite well at the moment. The viewers are going up. People are looking at what trainer to buy, how to hook things up, and just general cycling is just people coming from outside in. What tech do they buy for the next coming 6 months or 8 months indoors? So things are very busy.
Boys, thank you very, very, very much indeed, as ever, for another highly entertaining, highly informative episode of the Zwiftcast. Great to be actually with this fella here in close proximity in Melbourne. I'm on my way back to the UK in a couple of hours' time, so could be red eyes for me tomorrow. Nathan, thanks very much. Great to see you. The day must be dawning when all three of us are in the same room at the same time for an episode in the flesh. Always good fun. But until then, great to see you. Thanks very much, Nathan.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
And that's it for this episode, Zwifters. I hope you've enjoyed it. Just the usual bit of housekeeping, which is to say that we're very grateful for the support we receive from Zwift to help us make the podcast and keep it on the air. But as you probably guessed from the logo discussion, that support does not mean that Zwift exerts any influence on what we say. Hope you enjoyed listening. See you next time.